Doesn't matter which one they are, we can preach from it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's just see which one I prepared for. And that's the one we'll go with. I think it's Psalm 31. That's the one we're going with. 31:15. If you take notes, I've entitled the message, Sovereignty Rules. R-U-L-E-S. Sovereignty Rules. Not as in there are rules for sovereignty, because there are none, but that it is the ruler of all things. Sovereignty Rules. Psalm 31:15. Thus saith the Lord, my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Before we look at our text, let's pray. God, one of the problems humans have is that we look at you sometimes as a part-time God. When things go bad, we like to come to you. When they're not, we like to take control ourselves. And this message this morning, God, I pray you would remove that from us and that you would help us to understand in this passage that your sovereignty rules everything, every molecule, every atom. You are the creator, the almighty God, Jehovah Elohim. And so, God, we pray that you'd open up our hearts and our minds. And Holy Spirit, we'd ask you to walk amongst us. And if there's one here today who knows not Christ as Savior, we pray that today, with this message, Lord, you would open their hearts and you might be willing to call them into your kingdom. And also walk amongst us, Lord, for those of us that are saved. Open our minds and our hearts to the text and help us, Lord. Give us edification where it's needed, conviction where it's needed, comfort where it's needed. Whatever is needed, Lord, we pray that you would give it to us and let us leave here with an application. We ask all this in Christ's name and for your glory. Amen and amen. Psalm 31:15 is a message I preached on this specific text. I think it was April of last year when the pandemic did. It was a video. There was nobody here, I don't think, except the people doing the video. And I thought, at this point in time where we are, I thought what a wonderful thing it is to resurrect that, because the text gives us some wonderful examples of how God is sovereign in everything. Now, I've always thought it strange that many Christians regard God as being in their lives, as I said earlier, only part-time. For example, if a bridge falls and a dozen people are killed, the very first thing people say when that happens is that it's God's providence. But at the same time, if that same bridge lasts for 70 years and thousands of people go across it, we take God completely out of the picture. We never mention it, that he kept it up for all those years. You see, we fail to recognize that bridge stood for 70 years for only one reason, because God willed it. God commanded it to be there. And contrary-wise, we instantly recognize God when things happen that we're not quite sure of, or big things happen. Example, if you or I make an investment in a portfolio and we got an average return, we would say absolutely nothing about God's providence. It'd be, well, we made a few bucks on it, that's it. But if we make a windfall, reaping where we have not sown, we call that a divine providential act. We'd be all over that, giving God glory for it. And I would also add that it's true that many Christians think God only acts providentially when unexpected things happen. Isn't that true? For example, when a man is killed, we don't attribute it to providence. We say, well, it was his time, he went, that's it. But when a horrible event happens and hundreds are killed, the very first thing we say to people is it was God's providence or it was God's judgment that caused that to happen. We bring him into the equation. My point, when everyday life goes on as usual, we have a tendency of taking God out of the equation. But when an event takes place that's outside of our understanding, or an event that takes place that's really horrific or really large, we call it a God-ordained providential event. We bring him back in. That being said, during this coronavirus epidemic, instead of believing that the event is a providential act of God, many elect are acting as if God isn't involved in a plague at all. They blame it on doctors. They blame it on drug manufacturers. They blame it on billionaires. They blame it on politicians. The biblical fact is, the only role those people play was the one God gave them to play. Period. And to think otherwise is a direct contradiction to Scripture. Proof verses, Daniel 2:21. And he changes the times and seasons, he removes kings, and he raises kings. You understand that? He changes the times and seasons. Right now, we're in a different season than we were 5 years ago. He removes kings and raises up kings. We go through presidents like Carter went through peanuts every 4 years. We do. He was a president. Didn't last very long, but he was a president. And the people did not elect him. They went to the poll and they did it, but everyone that elected Jimmy Carter, everyone that elected Bush, anybody that was ever elected to office was elected because of God's influence. Period. I keep saying period because there's nothing after that thought. A new thought. He changes the times and seasons, he removes kings and he raises them up. Isaiah 45:6-7 backs that up. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and I create darkness. I make peace and I create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. That makes it pretty clear. And as you all know, I'm a meat and potatoes guy. Very clear. I am the Lord. There's nobody but me. And I'm making everything happen. Every single thing that happens in this universe or ever has happened or ever will happen was either the direct ordained will of God or the permitted will of God. And without the slightest hesitation, I tell you, not believing that sovereignty rules everything in this universe, in all things, isn't just faulty theology that people have. If you don't believe that God is sovereign in everything, then you're in the sin of unbelief. It's unbelief because it means you don't believe Colossians 1:17. Here Jesus said, Jesus, and he, that is Jesus, is before all things, and by him all things consist. The word consist, if you look it up, not only means the world was called into being, but everything in the universe is still being maintained by God. You know, I tell people this all the time. A lot of people are under the impression that God is a reactionary God. Well, this happened, so now God has to counteract it with this. And then this happened, and he has to counteract it with that. No. In eternity past, this is creation. This is the universe. These are 400 billion trillion, however many light years away they say the universe is or how big it is. This is it. This book. He created everything in that universe, including you and me, every molecule, everything. And when they decided it was time, he said, and let there be light, it started. Everything was done. The sovereignty of God was already installed in creation, everywhere, everything. And you and I are perfect examples of it. We're not sovereign over anything. We can't change anything. If we could change anything, we would have changed ourselves a long time ago. We never do. It takes an act of God to change the will of man. It's not faulty theology, it's the sin of unbelief. You see, Christ is not only the conserver or the creator of all things, he's the conserver of it. He's conserving it right now. I mentioned this in Bible study, but we'll do it again. Every one of you sitting here is nothing more than a bag of water with some minerals in it, and you're consisted together with molecules and cells and DNA and all the other medical stuff that goes with it, and you're only held together because he wants you held together. If he didn't, there'd be just puddles of people. That's all there would be. Puddles of people. But he holds you together because he's sovereign and he can do that. You're not in charge of yourself. You're not in charge of how many hairs you have on your head. You're not in charge of how many years you're going to live. You're not in charge of your home. You don't own your home. You think you do, but you don't. Tom and Doreen's living in a house that was built in 1796. You know how many people went through that house? A lot. Nobody owned that house. Right now, Tom and Doreen are the current tenants, period. I'm the current tenants in my house. You don't own anything. Everything is God's. And you have to wrap your head around that idea in everything. Because when you don't, what you do is you make yourself a little sovereign. I'm doing something too. No, you're not. It's a lie. And you're telling yourself that lie and you're believing it. How do we know that's true? Matthew 10:29. Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall from the ground without your Father?" If a bird doesn't fall off a branch of a tree, but by God's will that bird's life ended when he said it ended, we're no different. You don't have any control over anything, and yet we think, well, we're controlling the Congress, we can control this. You can't control anything. Sometimes you can't control your bowels. You can't control everything. You can't. So when you think you really get real heady about what you can control, think about the biology. You're not controlling a lot of things, probably. Isaiah 46:4 backs that up. Here's what he says. "Even to your old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and I will deliver you." You're not getting through your life by yourself right now. And if you're lost in listening to this, you're not getting through your life by yourself either. Every one of us is getting through this life because God's will. There are people sitting in this sanctuary right now that 2 years ago, they couldn't have dreamt they were here. There are people sitting in this place right now that came to church this morning holding a Bible underneath their arm, and a 40-year Christian almost passed out in his car watching it because he couldn't believe it would happen. It didn't happen because the guy all of a sudden said, "Oh," or somebody went up to him and made a comment that made him think about it. God called that person. The sovereignty of God is everything in our religion. It's second only to love. And love comes first because it was love that caused the sovereignty. When there's no universe and it's just the Godhead and they're doing everything perfectly, they don't need anything, then there's no cross. But when there's a cross, there has to be love. And to have the love, you have to have sovereignty to make sure that it all works out for his glory. That's the connection. And we forget that. We walk around like little sovereigns thinking we're doing this and we're doing that. You're doing nothing. Zero. Zero. Now our text also backs up when David said, "My times are in thy hand." He knew that. He knew he wasn't doing anything. He knew that God was leading him and guiding him. David believed that God was responsible for every event in his life. Look at the first two words of our text. "My times." Those two words are proof that David believed that God was in charge of his times, his life. "My times" include every event that happened in David's life. Being chosen to be king of Israel, that was a sovereign act by God. Being delivered from the paw of the lion and of the bear, that was a sovereign act of God. His victory over Goliath, he said it, God is going to deliver you to me. It was a sovereign act of God. His escape from Saul's javelin when he threw it at him, a sovereign act of God. God's provisions for him and the 700 men that were with him while they evaded Saul for 12 years, a sovereign act of God provided for him. Deliverance from his children's murderous rebellion against him, a sovereign act of God kept him. And his victories over the enemies of Israel, a sovereign act of God gave him those victories. Why do you think he won every battle he ever had except the one with himself? Every battle he ever had against another enemy other than himself, he won. He never lost one. He did better than Mike Tyson. Why? Because he went to God first and trusted in God's sovereignty. When David penned the inspired words, "My times are in thy hand," he was referring to God's providence. He knew that it affected every aspect of his life, every single aspect of it. He understood, and more importantly than understanding it, he believed God's sovereignty, his will was shaping and guiding his life. Do you do that with everything? And I tell you, God's sovereign will is shaping and guiding every aspect of your life, whether you believe it or not. He is. Every aspect of it. I don't care what it is. And whether you like it or not, or believe it or not, sovereignty rules everything, including the corona pandemic. Even that is a sovereign act of God. And to put a point on those words, and to put a point on them, "My times are in thy hand," apply not only to God's elect people, but that also applies to the lost. He's as sovereign over them as he is over you. He's sovereign over everything. I want to overextend that. I want you to understand that you're not sovereign in anything. If we are anything, we are the people who get the results and we have to deal with them. That's all that we are. We just deal with the results of life. The act of life and the events of life are all providentially ordained. And why do you think that is? How else could he get you to heaven? How else could he get you in this church this morning if it wasn't providentially ordained? How do we know that's true, even the lost? We see that truth in the account of Joseph. Jacob loved his son, his youngest son Joseph, more than his other 11 brothers, so he made a multicolored coat for him. I've given this example several times, and I do it because it is the best example of God's sovereignty ordaining life in every aspect of life. With the coat. And because Jacob loved Joseph more than his other brothers, his brothers, of course, his father sent him out to bring him some food because they were tending sheep. They plotted to kill him. They were going to throw him in a ditch and kill him. But God's sovereignty influenced them to sell him instead to Midianite slave traders. So instead of killing him, they sold him to the slave traders. They made a few bucks on their brother, okay? And it's in this simple multicolored coat that we see God's sovereign will orchestrating events and details in people's lives that change the world. And there's no better example of God's sovereignty than the event that took place because of Jacob's multicolored coat. For example, if there was no jealousy by his brothers, there would be no conspiracy to sell Joseph to the slave traders. No Midianites, that's who they were. No trip to Egypt. No trip to Egypt. No sale at the public slave auction. No sale at the public slave auction. No sale to Potiphar. No sale to Potiphar. No trouble with Potiphar's wife that landed him in prison. No prison, no meeting the chief butler and baker. No meeting the baker and butler, no interpretation of dreams. No interpretation of dreams, no meeting Pharaoh. No meeting Pharaoh, no reuniting with his brothers. No reuniting with his brothers, no moving down to Egypt. No moving down to Egypt, no edict by Pharaoh to kill all the male babies. No infanticide, no meeting Pharaoh's daughter. No meeting Pharaoh's daughter, no Moses. No Moses, no Exodus. No Exodus, no Ten Commandments. No Ten Commandments, no law. No law, no prophets. No prophets, no Jesus. No Jesus, no cross. No cross, no resurrection. No resurrection, no ascension. No ascension, no Pentecost. No Pentecost, no Holy Spirit, no church. No church, you wouldn't be here today. 25 events that took place over a period of years with all different people, and every one of them had to be exactly right and on time, and only the God's sovereign will could do that. You couldn't plan that. How could all these things happen at exactly the right time and with the exactly the right people if God didn't ordain it? How could that be? It couldn't be. The sovereignty of God is seen so clearly in those 25 examples of how he worked in every one of those things. And Moses, was his mother put him in a basket that she made out of reeds and mud. And she put him in a river that was filled with crocodiles. And there's a concurrence in a river that tends to move things in all different ways. The thing could have leaked. But that baby Moses was put in there at exactly the right time when Pharaoh's daughter would be on the other end of that river, and the concurrence at that time was perfect to take that basket exactly to her, and there wasn't one crocodile there looking for breakfast, not one. And took that baby right there, and he cried. He didn't cry once, the Bible says, until he was within earshot of her. How could you plan that? If I built a basket like that, it wouldn't go 5 feet. It'd sink. Or there would be an alligator there. The point is, God is sovereign in everything, and we see it in our lives even. How many times could you say God is you've seen his sovereignty work in your life? How many times has he influenced you to do something or say something or to walk through a door or not to walk through a door? It's all sovereign. That's all it is. It's not you. It was somebody, I forget who it was. It was Shakespeare. He said, all men are nothing but bit actors on a stage of life for 15 minutes. He's right. That's all we are. And we're not doing the props. We're not writing the scripts. We're walking through our lives, the life that God has sifted through his hands individually to you and I. We're not sovereign. Everything that happens, happens by God's permissive or ordained will, whether we like it or not. How do you think the Israelites felt in Egypt when all the water turned to blood? Or when all the firstborn animals and children died and it didn't touch them? How do you think they felt when Nebuchadnezzar picked them up and brought them back to Babylon? They all knew all of that was God. Why is it so hard for the modern church to see that? Why is it so hard for us to understand that it doesn't matter what Fauci says or Biden says, it doesn't matter what Bill Gates wants to do, he's going to do nothing. Nobody's doing anything without the permissive will of God. Yeah, let's be aware of it. Let's be aware of it. Let's don't take the jab if we don't have. Let's do whatever we want to do. But understand this, it's God's sovereign will. That's the deal. You need to make no mistake about this. Everything, every breath you take has been measured and quantified. to a certain point in time. The day you came into this world, you were given a birth date and a death date, and nothing's going to change that because it was given by the sovereign God. You're going to be born to the parents that he gives you. The place the geography is his choice, not yours. The color of your skin is his choice. Whether you're rich or you're poor, or you're blue class, green class, whatever class of people you're in, you are exactly where he put you. And we have to be good with that, because then that's the only way you can worship God. Do you understand that, beloved? You can't worship God if you're trying to change things that he's trying to do, even if it kills you. And nothing can kill you because you're his kid. The worst thing that happens to you. Christendom was interviewed by Trajan, the emperor. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put you to death. He says, you can't. He said, why? Because I've already died to Christ. If you kill me, I'll kill you then. I can't. You can't, because all you do is send me home. He said, well, then I'll banish you to a place where there's no other people. He says, you can't do that either, because I have a friend who will never leave me or forsake me. So you know what he did? He let him go. Okay? We need to be like him. We need to realize that everything in your life should be biblical. Everything in your life should be done with the understanding that God is sovereign. And whatever's going on in your life, be it COVID, be it political, be it whatever, it's going on because God put it there. And the sooner you understand that and you accept that, and how do you accept it? What does Jesus tell him about kicking against the goad? Why are you kicking against the goad? Why are you kicking against me? Romans 13:1-2 says, if you fight against the principalities and powers, you're fighting against God. He put them there. That other verse we had talked about, raising kings up and taking them out, they're all his. We need to get a better control of God's sovereignty. Not so much that we know it, but that we believe it. We got to believe it, not just know it. The pagans know God in some way, shape, or form, even if it's their imagination. They know there's a God. They don't worship him as God, but they know it. We can't be like that. When by faith we believe everything that touches our life is God ordained or permitted, we should be filled. That should fill you with joy. How do you have joy or peace in your life if you're concerned about all this stuff? Oh, I'm going to get COVID, or this is going to happen, or that's going to. How can you have peace or joy or comfort? How can you have any of it? You can't. The only way to do it is, Lord, give me the strength I need to deal with what's going on in my life. Give me the strength to deal with what's going on in my country. Give me the wisdom I need to do whatever I have to do to glorify you during this. Do you not understand that you'll never have a better time to see God's sovereignty at work than you do right now? You'll never have a better time to glorify God than you can right now by accepting what he's doing and just doing whatever duty you have to do. Do it. But don't think you're going to change anything. Accept it. This is God's gift. Suffering is God's gift. And every time we start to suffer, all we start doing is whining. That CCC, chronic complaining Christians. We don't whine when we suffer. We should be clapping. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now I get to serve you. You know, we like to say we're Christians. We like to say we're saved. But what we don't like to do is say I'm serving. Because it means that you are serving the sovereign God, and you have to stop serving yourself. And when you take you out of the serving line, you don't like to do it. You like to be in that line. You like to serve yourself. Again, our text tells us everything I just said to you is true about, instead of being filled with anger or fear, and that's what's going around in Christendom today. The believing church is filled with anger and fear. Anger because of what they deem the politicians are doing, and fear because of the COVID and what's going to happen. That's silly. That's unbelief. That's not faulty doctrine. That's not just saying I want to know more information. It's saying I'm fighting against, I'm kicking against the goat. God is causing this to happen in my life, and I'm not accepting it. And I asked people that I've talked to about this, so what are you going to do? How are you going to change anything? And there's no answer. Why? Because first and foremost of all, you're fighting against a national government, number one. Corrupt or not is irrelevant because God put it in. And he put it in with a specific reason. And you and I aren't smart enough, or never will be, to understand that reason. We only know that it's there, we don't like it, and we want to get rid of it. And that may or may not be God's view. That's definitely not your job. Your job is to take precautions the best you can. Do the civic duty you want to do. But then accept what God is doing as God's doing it, not men. Not men. My times are in your hand. You know what that means? It means God is nearby. He's nearby. He's here this morning. See, with God, it's not like this. He says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, God, everything is personal with him. With his creation, you got to remember this. We're talking basically about Jesus Christ. He is the creator. Everything is personal with him. He wants you to have a personal relationship with him. He wants you to lean on him. He wants you to do all the things you do in his name to glorify the Father. It's all going to come back to you later when you leave, when you're in glory. All the glory you give to the Father is coming back to you. And how much glory are you giving to him if now, during all this thing we're going through, we're filled with fear or anger or disappointment, whatever. Personal with God. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. There's not one thing. I think of our sister Anne Marie a lot because this is a woman that has a lot of faith. Her background was such that it would be hard to believe that somebody was as new a Christian as she is would have the faith that she had to get through all the things she's been through. Never once has she complained. She knows. She understands the sovereignty of God. And because she understands the sovereignty of God, she goes through this, and she goes through it with less grief, with less pain. Doesn't mean it's been removed. It means that he gives you the strength and the comfort you need to get through it with less pain, less difficulty. And what's that worth? Imagine out there, why do you think everybody's wearing 17 masks trying to stop a thing that's so small? It goes through 17 masks like nothing. Why do you think they do that? I told somebody, if you were in a spacecraft and you looked at the Earth, you'd see that little blue layer of atmosphere we have, and right underneath it is this big black smelly gas called fear. This earth right now stinks of fear. Why? Because of death. They're afraid to die. Why? Because they're outside of Christ. They know that death represents a punishment. And it does. They're right. But not for you and I. There should be no fear. My times are in thy hand also means God's sovereignty rules, so there's no such thing as luck, chance, or coincidence, or fate. There's none of that. If you think that, then you're just like an unbeliever. You don't believe that God is sovereign. You can't have it both ways. That's the beauty of absolute truth. It's one way or the other. It's either God is completely sovereign, or he's not. And if he's not, then you could go with luck, fate, chance, or coincidence, and that's the pony you'll ride. Proof first for that, there's no luck, chance, or coincidence, is Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Jeremiah 18:6 reminds us, behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. O house of Northfield, you are like clay in my hand. Jeremiah 29:11, another one. He promises, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What do we need? What do we need to have faith that what's going on? We don't need to be terrified of it. We don't need to be kicking against God, trying to change things that are unchangeable, except by his will. My times are in thy hand also means God is on your side. Do you understand that? Is this getting Is this getting it? You get it, Wendy? God is on your side. And that means that he's on your side. The Bible makes it clear. He's not saying, well, I'm going to see how he does. No. Everything that you did today thus far was already known by God and ordained by God. Even being here or not being here. Whatever it was. Romans 8, 31, 33. If God be for us, who can be against us? Could COVID be against God? You think God's afraid of catching the virus? You think that? You think that he doesn't have the power and the omnipotence to just wish it away? He does. Why doesn't he do it? Why does he give it to good people? Who cares? He gives it to them because he can, because it's his will. That's good enough for me. And it should be good enough for all of us. See, that's the problem. I don't think we think that he's treating us right because we have all these variables going on in our life. That's why you got to relax. That's why you got to relax. You got to be still and know that I'm God. And he'll teach you something. He'll teach you about his sovereignty. Also, my times are in thy hand means my beloved is mine and I am his. You know that God looks at you as a beloved? Song of Solomon 2:16. We don't talk too much about that book, but that book is just a love affair Christ has with the church. My times are in thy hand reveals that God doesn't just think of me. He makes my concerns his concern. Just a minute ago, when we prayed all of this, he knew all of it. We didn't have to pray it. He knew it. But he wants you to bring it to him. Why? Because now you can leave it there. You don't leave it in here, or you don't leave it in here. You leave it with him. That's how you get peace. Jesus came and he said, I've come to give you my peace. So, and he come in another place, he said, I've come to give you my joy. His everything has been imputed to you. My word, we have everything we need. All we have to do is just use it. And here's how we know that our concerns are his. Psalm 41, 10 and 11. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Now listen how many times he's saying this. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all that they were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. How much clearer could he make it? That I'm not leaving you. You're my kids, and I'm not leaving you. Your concerns are my concerns. Bring them to me. I'll give you the peace, as long as you get rid of the sin. I'll give you the peace and the joy and the comfort you need to get through it. Don't try to change it. Instead of trying to change it, try to honor me and try to honor my blood sacrifice that we just celebrated here by understanding this is my will, not yours. You may not like it. You may not believe it, but it is. And that's what he's saying. And my times are in thy hand also means that all of God's elect children, all of it, all my life experiences, all Brian's life experiences, COVID, doctors, Pfizer's, immunizations, Biden, or whatever else touches my life will all work out for my benefit. Hard to believe that something that Fauci said could work out for my benefit, but it will. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you understand all the benefits that he's giving you? He's just saying, trust me. That's all he's saying. Everything that happens to you has been measured out in his hand. By faith, you should understand and believe and know that God's will is in charge of every detail of your life. Do you believe that? By faith, you know God has an eternal love for you. Do you know that? Have you felt that? By faith, you know God is on your side. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Do you believe these things? By faith, you know all things work together for your good. Do you believe that? And by faith, you know nothing, not even the coronavirus, will ever separate you from the love of God. Do you believe that? Don't you separate yourself from God because you don't like what he's doing. Nothing should separate you from God, not even you. Nothing can. With all that in mind, and I'll close with this, with all that in mind, why would any believer, true, genuine, born-again, new creature in Christ, why would any of us panic or be fearful or be discouraged over the current medical / political situation? Why would we? If God's sovereignty is in charge of absolutely everything, it doesn't matter who's lying, who's stealing, who's politicizing. Everyone, every single one of those people that are doing it are playing the roles that God has assigned them. Period. And the believer's role is by faith to realize the coronavirus and the current political events are the result of God's sovereign rule. Period. I'm making periods because that's an absolute truth. Today's current events are not the results of men. I'm telling you that. Based on what I just said with all these verses, it is not the results of men. It's not the results of politics. It's not the result of greed. It's not the result of anything except God's will. Boom. Psalm 135, 6 and 8 through 10. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. He destroyed, here it comes, he destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, both of men and beast. He sent signs and wonders into the midst of you, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. He defeated many nations and slew mighty kings. That's the sovereign God. That's everything I just told you about this morning. All of that means not one believer should be anxious about the pandemic. There should be no anxiety. If God's in charge, you should be good with that. We should just do everything we have to do to stay safe. That's what we should do. Some people want to get a lot of grocery stored away. I throw away a few bags of rice once in a while. Yeah, fine. You want to be politically active in your community or otherwise? Fine. No fear. No panic. None. Conspiracy? Doesn't matter. People who are trying to make money? Doesn't matter. It only matters that you understand that this is all by God's will. Period. I dare to believe that God's sovereignty rules, is in charge of everything and everyone in this world. So I'm telling you, don't fear the COVID. Don't fear the political. Don't fear the hospitals. Don't fear the doctors. Know this. You are God's child. You were blood bought. You are the most precious possession he has. He's never going to let you go. And all he's asking you to do is to just realize that he's in charge. Sovereignty rules. And you should love God enough to use your faith. You should love him enough to use your faith to get the victory over this COVID virus, over this political situation, over the devil, over the world, and get over your own flesh. Love him enough to do that. He loved you enough to die for you and to pay your sin debt. I leave you with the promise of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. David, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. And what, David? He'll direct your path. That's all we have to do. It's really meat and potatoes simple. Now, if you're listening to this and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you better worry, because every breath you take brings you closer to hell. The Bible makes it abundantly clear. We're all sinners. There's none of us are righteous. There's none of us who seek after God. He called you. If you feel him calling your heart, you feel him calling you to salvation. That simply means is calling you to repent of your sins and to turn to him and to come to know him as your Savior and then to live for him. If you feel him doing that, then you call me or see me, and I'll show you in his word how much he wants to say to you, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That would be you. If you don't do it, then I advise you to take every single breath, make it deep, make every day long, and enjoy every one. Because the Bible says that on Judgment Day, those who have not known Christ as their Savior, whose sins have not been forgiven by the sacrifice that God the Father provided, will suffer torment in the lake of fire, where Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever, and there is no rest day or night for those that are there. If that's you, then you really give some thought, especially now in the with this COVID thing, give some thought to dying, because it is important that you know Christ is your Savior before that happens. Because if it doesn't, I don't care what you went through or going through on this earth, nothing will ever top eternal damnation. Please call me if that's you. Brothers and sisters, go home rejoicing. Don't be afraid of anything. You are more than conquerors. You are victorious over this world. Your faith makes you victorious over the world, 1 John says. Go home and practice it. And when you see other brothers and sisters not practicing it, remind them that sovereignty rules. Let's pray. You know, Father, one of the wonderful things I feel is that I feel your power in my life in such a degree that I can stand in front of a pulpit of, I wouldn't care if there were 50,000 people here, I would have said exactly the same thing, because your sovereignty is so great and so grand, and it's so obvious. All we have to do is practice our faith and just get through this together in a way that glorifies you. Because if we don't, then what ends up happening, Lord, is we let this, the fear and everything, spoil the opportunity we have right now to stand up in faith and deal with our own fears, deal with our being persecuted by our family if we don't get the shot. All of those things, Lord, allows us to suffer for you. And suffering, Lord, you make it so clear, is part of growth, great growth. Help us, Lord. If we have to suffer, fine. But if not, Lord, if it pleases you not, even then, just help us to live by faith and knowing that you are sovereign over all that's going on in our life and in our world right now. We ask it with great faith and always in Christ's name. Amen. Closing hymn.